Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
For the fans to give us the push the way they did in certain situations and the players to react, especially with the physicality, everybody will remember the goals, but I thought the physicality and the way we stood up and the way we worked for each other in that respect was really team sacrificial-like, and we can build on that. Overall, the noise was loud and the building had a lot of fun, and we're going to work hard to get this in here very often this year.
It was great to see them react the way they did, and the amount of energy that was in the building tonight was tremendous, and we felt it on the bench. You know, we were talking about it, and it's a special place to play. When we're playing like that and the crowd's into it, I mean, you know, I think maybe the last time we heard it like that was probably Philly the day before Thanksgiving last year, so just try and recreate that as much as possible this season.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ralph Krueger and Jack Eichel, your comments there in the open.
Who wants to tell them about tonight?
About tonight?
Yeah.
What about tonight?
Well, they played a game. It was their home opener. It was a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It was. You know, tonight it's Wednesday.
So you're thinking?
It's Montreal.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking it won't be like Saturday.
Seats are available?
I would think quite possibly.
Okay.
They probably have to do a lot of work to get people back the way they were last year early in the season, right?
Yeah, I wonder what it would take. Like, how long? Like, what kind of stretch?
An 11-game winning streak. Right? 11 in a row.
But then you'd still have people calling us going, guys, do you remember last season? We were getting the Sabres effect on the Bills. Guys, do you remember the Sabres won 10 straight last year? Don't get excited about the Bills. Yeah, I wonder what it would take. I will say that, you know, with the Bills on the bye this week, I can devote my full energies to thinking about the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
With a little break on football, I can multitask, although I find it harder as the years go on. But this week, I get to just dive in and watch the hockey team and begin observing or learning more about the hockey team. A lot of things I liked in the first two games. Not as much in the third game, but this week I get to look and do a deep dive on what's going on with the hockey team.
How deep are you going to dive?
Oh, I'm diving deep. No, I just get to pay attention to them, because how could you not? I've been so wrapped up in the Bills season and their start and thinking about the playoffs and my mind wandering to 10, 11, or no, they're not going 13-3. But hockey, I kind of, you know, pushed to the back burner with all the great stuff going on with the football team. But now I want to look at the hockey team. I liked a lot of what I saw in the first couple games. I think Olofsson is going to have a big year. Skinner can still score without Eichel. Eichel's still really good. Dahlin is still as exciting to watch as he was as a rookie. You brought up Colin Miller yesterday. The revamped defense group with Miller and Yokoharu has been fun to watch the first couple games. The number one power play to me should be one of the best power plays in the league. So there are a lot of positives to extract from two of the first three games, and this week I get to just really focus my efforts on seeing where they're going.
Well, this week they play Montreal and Florida.
Two teams that you'd have to beat out if you're thinking about making the playoffs this year. Assuming Tampa, Toronto, Boston in some order are still going to lock down the top three spots in the division.
Which I would think is probably right.
Then you got to beat these teams out.
There are a lot of hockey people that seem to think that the Atlantic, that's the division they're in, right? We're in the Atlantic.
Yes, the other one's the Metro.
Okay.
If you have to stop and think about
all
that
the time,
every
time, I have
right?
no idea the divisions anymore.
Yeah.
That the Atlantic will get 5 and the Metro will get 3.
Okay.
The Metro's not good. Pittsburgh's not good.
No,
the Islanders are drifting.
The Flyers, the Devils.
Yeah,
the Canes should be good, right? The Caps are still good, I think.
35-1 on those Canes.
35-1?
35-1.
That's worth a few bucks with what they
it
did
sure
last year.
Sure is, and they have not lost yet. So
and
how's that
And they'll bring
for
in
you?
Justin Williams for the stretch run.
Exactly.
For Mr. Playoff, Mr. 7,
yeah,
Mr.
So
Mr. Game 7.
If we can overreact a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's what we do.
Sure, why not?
I mean, it's if we overreact to 1 out of 16 NFL games, we can overreact to 3 out of 82 hockey games.
The good news is that Evan Rodriguez is back in the lineup.
Yeah.
The bad news is that it took an injury to get him there. He should be in the lineup instead of Vladimir Sobotka, and it's probably not close.
I thought he should have been playing. I was puzzled. I know Paul's got an article up at our website at WGR550.com. They spoke to Rodriguez yesterday, and he admitted, he was shocked he wasn't playing. You know, he signed a one-year, $2 million contract in the offseason, so he got a nice pay raise, and you'd think that would be a sign that, you know, you're a valued part of the organization, relatively speaking. Well, he didn't get $10 million.
Didn't he go to arbitration?
We got two, didn't he? Did he get an award?
If you go to arbitration, it's tough to say you're a valued member of the franchise.
Technically, they could have walked away and thought, you're not worth $2 million.
Right, but they took you to the wall and made you have a judge prove what you were worth or whatever.
But I think his game, his speed and his game, I'd like to see more offensive production from him, but I think his speed and his game translate to what they want to do with this
team.
His
offensive production from a standpoint of...
What do you got, like 30 points last
year? The numbers people, he's fine. He doesn't play a lot of minutes.
Yeah. What did he get last year?
I can find it. But in terms of points per 60 minutes, I mean, he outscores a lot of guys on the team.
Yeah.
So, let's see. His career, he's got 62 points in 154 games.
Well, but I think he skates well. He can chip in with some points, and he goes and plays penalty kill.
He's good.
You know,
he should be playing. He's good.
Yeah.
And he's definitely better than... I mean, Sobotka's the guy we always pick on for who should come out, but yeah. I think Rodriguez could go in ahead of, like, maybe six of their forwards.
I think Sobotka, and it isn't, I mean, he hasn't played badly the first few games. I know, you know, Paul kept telling us throughout the preseason he's looked good. He looks like, he just seems more interested than he was last year. But to me, the problem with Sobotka on that line is he's not scoring.
No, and
he's
probably
not here
won't.
For his offense. And I would like to have somebody, you know, with splitting up Skinner with Eichel, okay, and putting Skinner on the Johansson line. Okay, so you're trying to create two really good scoring lines. Sobotka doesn't fit on that line. I mean, Sobotka's here when he's when he's on his game, so to speak. He's more of a defensive player and a pest. And I need somebody on that line. You look at the Eichel line, all three guys can contribute offensively. And then you look at the Johansson line, and I think two of the three guys can contribute offensively. And hopefully, maybe that's where Rodriguez finds a home for himself, because I think, you know, three games in, one of the things you will say noticeable is I need another offensive presence on that line with Skinner and Johansson, and that is not going to be Sobotka.
Yeah, the only things that have to work themselves out for me so far are, and I've got a couple tweets from listener Jim who's been pointing this out, the minutes of the defenseman,
yeah.
Who's getting what minutes. The Sabres are leaning too heavily on Scandella and McCabe. That's probably because of penalty kill, which Paul pointed out yesterday, but more time for Dahlin.
You know what I thought? Is there a way to track minutes per period?
Yes, probably.
Can you pull up the Columbus game? Because I thought Dahlin's minutes should... He ended up with 20 minutes the other night. And I don't have the breakdown in front of me, 5-on-5, power play, because he's on the number one power play, and I think they would add at least three power plays the other night. It felt as they were trailing, and the game was going on, and they fell behind, what would it have been, 3-2? It felt like Dahlin was on the ice more in the third period, because they were playing from behind, and Kruger's trying to get him the third goal. I was expecting more minutes for Dahlin, and I almost feel like he played him more when they're losing because he knows he needs offense. He's got to get a game-tying goal as opposed to the Devils game. You know, they played with a lead and expanded the lead. I was just curious. I never checked it to see what Dahlin's ice time was first, second, third period, 5-on-5, because it felt like he was on the ice more as the game went on.
Yeah, you can check a shift chart for that kind of thing. And that's, you know, you do that a lot, right? When you're, they also got a power play late, so he would have been on the ice for that quite a bit.
Yep.
But you always, I shouldn't say you always, not everybody does this, but Kruger did kind of shorten the bench once things got to be 3-2 Columbus. We'll see against Montreal. I expect Montreal to be good this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a nice little test early on in the season. Every game's a test for this team. You know, they finished bottom five last year. So I guess every game's a test. Florida 2, Montreal. But Montreal last year was a good team that missed the playoffs despite they were 14th in the league. You know, they were just kind of in the wrong spot. They had more points than two teams that made the playoffs. They weren't too far off of what the Blues did. Like, the Blues make it, right, as an underdog and go on and win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, nice little test here. Nice little two-game test, I should say, because of Montreal and then Florida, to see if they are as fast. Like the first two games, it was, hey, look, the Sabres are fast. Yep. And then against Columbus, they didn't look fast.
No, and that's why I thought, you know, Ralph Kruger's going to be on with us this morning at 8 o'clock, by the way. He's with us every Wednesday morning at 8 during the season. And, you know, again, it's game 4 of 82. So when I say it's a good test, I know it's the fourth game of 82. I don't think the season hinges on how they play against the Canadiens tonight.
Oh, I do.
But
it's all tonight.
No, you don't. But they're coming off a bad game. You know, okay, so let's see how you respond. And Ralph Krueger was talking yesterday about different styles. And tonight, as opposed to Columbus, Columbus is a team that's got a heavy forecheck. And they get on you in the offensive zone, the neutral zone, and you're in the D zone. I mean, they're gonna check, they're going to play physical. And as opposed to Montreal, Montreal's going to be more of a speed game. Well, the Sabres looked faster than the Penguins, and the Sabres looked faster than the Devils. But it wasn't the case on Monday night in Columbus. Now we'll see if they can skate with the Canadiens, because many times over the years when the Sabres play Montreal, they look slower than the Canadiens. And the Canadiens are the team that seemingly is attacking, and the Sabres get to tend to chase things and do all that stuff. So we'll see. They had a bad game, their first bad game of the season, and how they come back tonight is a good test to see what this team is doing in terms of grasping what Ralph Krueger's trying to tell them.
What is he trying to tell them?
Oh, he said
he's a motivational speaker to some degree.
He said something yesterday. Was it Matthew Bove tweeted out the clip? I got to go back and listen to it because I wanted to ask Ralph Krueger about it this morning about the they're in this deep not deep dive this. I got to find the clip. I don't even know.
Is it a metaphor?
It was about the learning process and what they're going through and how he's trying to get them to change their approach to the game and their style of play and all these different things. And it's a deep process that they're into, and, you know, how they do and how they respond and all that stuff. So, yeah, look, they played a lousy game Monday, and let's see how you do tonight. Let's see how you come back. This is where Lindy is in my head going, you know, avoid back-to-back losses. Don't get into little mini streaks. So come back and win one or both of these games, whatever, against teams that you got to beat out in your division. And just look better. I mean, Monday night was just, what were they outshot? 44-18.
It was bad.
It was Linus Ullmark, and your fingers.
You could just tell that Columbus was all over them. The forecheck was working. They were frustrated.
Very effective.
I wouldn't mind seeing their top line look really good at 5-on-5. You know, Eichel, Reinhardt, and Olofsson. I know Olofsson's got 3 goals. Reinhardt's got 1 or 2. He's got a breakaway.
Are all of Olofsson's on the power play?
They all right? Okay. Are 3. All 3 are, yes. And Jax came on a play in front of that, so wouldn't mind seeing the top line kind of look like a top line tonight or Friday. Or, you know, Eichel has had stretches where he gets red hot and looks to be unstoppable. And sometimes it takes until December for that to come around, maybe November, December. Whatever. I'm excited for it. It's a Wednesday, and it's a game against a division rival. And the other thing is, the more they play and the more they get wins and get goals or look exciting, the better the chance is that what we heard in the open from Ralph Krueger and Jack Eichel, that people get back in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the start of this season was probably as disinterested as Sabres fans have ever been. You know, you know me and how excited I get. I was, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Bring on the season.
Well, you weren't the only one.
No.
I don't know who would have been. How would you not be skeptical?
Yeah, I think that was a lot of it was, I mean, I can't even think of what you could do to prove it to me. Mm-hmm. There might even still be a lot of fans kind of waiting for that wrist-to-line-in trade, if that's still going to happen. What are you going to do on defense when everybody gets healthy? Is something going to move? Because
you have to.
You've got to do something.
What happens when, I mean, the instigators, we talked about this yesterday. Montour's 3 weeks away, according to the updated injury report. Okay, when he's ready,
you trade wrist-to-line-in.
What are you doing? Right? And yeah, I mean, you're not taking Yokohama out of the lineup.
No.
Unless they take Scandella out and put Montour in.
Unless they do the, can Yokiharu go back to Rochester because they play the numbers game?
I think he could.
Well, that's probably the easy way out, right? What you do.
What if Pilot is playing in Rochester and he's healthy and he's playing well and you want to bring Pilot up? Then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still have Gilmore here as the extra. Now you'd be adding Montour and Pilot. Maybe you trade Ristolainen and maybe they trade Scandella. Who knows? There was something I was going to say and now I completely... Oh, you know, and the approach to the season. Look, I you know, we talk about this a lot. I try not to have one season bleed into the other. I try and separate the seasons, whether it's the Bills, whether it's the Sabres. You know, the person that calls and says, you know, when they're 4-1 and I say they're making the playoffs, I guarantee it. And someone calls and says, don't forget 2011. I try not to do that. I think each team is its own season, its own identity, right?
Of course.
But it was so hard with the Sabres. I mean, last season pretty much broke your spirit as a Sabre fan. I mean, it was that bad. It's really hard to love again. You know, you got burned by the win streak, and it wasn't even just they won 10 straight and didn't make the playoffs. They won 10 straight. You got all excited. And then it was one of the biggest collapses in the history of the franchise. I mean, you could not have made it a worse scenario.
Right. And ignoring it and ignoring it was potentially what made it even worse than that.
And you just let it play out. And it was just this three-month bleh. And so it's difficult to come back. So as much as I say, I do try and not get caught up in previous seasons. It's hard. It's hard with the hockey team because of what the fan base has experienced with the last 8 years and all the stuff that's come along with it and the multiple head coaches and general managers. But so that's why I thought the first two games were good. You've got to show the fans that you can play entertaining hockey. You can play winning hockey. That you look like you know what you're doing, because there were too many nights last year. They just looked like they had no idea what they were doing on the ice. And show them you can score goals. As you have said, whether we're talking about the Bills offense or the Sabres, hey, scoring's fun. Scoring is entertaining. We can appreciate good defense, the Bills, but you'd like to have points. It's fun. And you know what? One of the things I was thinking about, baby steps. Like, what can the Sabres do to get people back? You want to pull up your stat about October? How about have a winning first month of the season? When was the last time that happened? The last time they made the playoffs? I don't know. Isn't it like 7, 8, 9 years since they had a winning October? So it was 7 years since they had a winning opening night when they beat Pittsburgh on opening night. So, you know, baby steps in terms of getting people back. I think you've got to show that you know what you're doing. You can play an exciting brand of hockey. Keep playing the north-south and the stretch passes and the quick transition game and playing with speed and all these things, and be able to put, you know, have more than just a one-line offensive team. And if you can get off to a good start in the month of October, I think that helps, because this team is usually, by the time we reach Thanksgiving, we're looking at the standings and going, last year was the exception. But by the time you reach Thanksgiving, we've been looking at the standings for too many years going, yeah, they're probably out of it. And they're in a tough division.
It is.
They could probably be much better and still be, you know, sixth in that division.
Yeah, I don't think it's the toughest division. It's tough.
Central might be. Well, Winnipeg's dropped off a little bit, but the Central's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, look, Tampa, Toronto, and Boston are among the three of the better teams in the whole league. And you throw in Montreal, and I think a lot of people with Quenneville are expecting Florida to take a big jump up. You know, they get Bobrovsky, and they didn't get Panarin, but they have a talented roster, and maybe, you know, maybe it was the coaching. They go from, you know, Bugner to Quenneville. I think people are expecting Florida to take a leap up. So you could be better as the Sabres and still be sitting behind five other teams in this division and just be ahead of Detroit and Ottawa, basically. It's that good a division.
Ooh, I spilled coffee again. It's 2 days in a row.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Not that much.
Hang on.
Still spilled some, though. What do you got? You got napkins over there? Oh. We have these paper towels. These are the ones that you usually find in pizza joints, right?
Or bathrooms.
That actually don't soak up anything.
Yeah.
They just push.
Well, you know, they're probably cheap
paper. They push liquids around more than anything.
They're cheap paper towels. You know, I don't think we go top of the line three-ply or whatever they call the things, you know? Yeah, it's not Schmounty, the quicker picker upper.
No,
it's a little bit less than that.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop spilling my coffee.
And by the way, one of the other observations: this Dahlin guy, he's good.
He's good.
He's so smooth. He's so much fun to watch in his decision making. Whether it's, you know, spinning around to avoid guys in the defensive zone, or his rushes up ice, or his decision making up ice, and it, you know. I don't remember which game it was, but he made a play on one of the goals already this season where he's at the right point, and he kind of did a pass fake to the left point, drew the defender up, worked his way down the wall a little bit, and set up a goal. I mean, every game is fun just to watch this kid, to see what he's going to do in the game that night. So, I mean, you add that, you know, we already knew that from last season, but to get to watch him again and to watch him develop and be able to play in a system where, yeah, the coach is going, just be creative. You don't worry so much. Just, you know, go out there. Don't think so much. Just go out and play and be creative is right up Rasmus Dahlin's alley.
Trying to think of the other guys, the new guys. If we went through one by one, how they've done.
I've enjoyed watching Johansson.
Johansson's really good.
I like him at center. I know, you know, there was some question about where he was going to play, but he is right now the best option at center unless Casey Mittelstadt takes a big step up. I like him paired with Skinner and creating a second offensive line. I think Johansson, you know, in terms of carrying the puck up ice, zone entries, whether it's 5-on-5 or on the number two power play, I think he's very effective at zone entries. He looks to have pretty good vision. He looks to be a pretty good passer. I think he's I think he's a really good addition. I've enjoyed watching Johansson the first few games. I think he'll make a difference giving this team a second offensive line production-wise.
Yeah, your new guys, Johansson, Yokiharu, VC Miller, and that's really it, the guys. Has VC had a scoring chance yet?
That's a good question. I mean, he might have a shot.
I can't remember too much.
Like
from
legitimate big-time scoring chance?
Yeah.
I can't recall one. In my note-taking, I don't remember seeing one so far from him.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I don't recall like a really prime chance.
They're all kind of working it out at this point and, you know, establishing chemistry, whatever you might say. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen too much from him. He'd probably be at the bottom of the list of the newcomers in terms of what they've shown so far.
Yeah, because, you know, Miller, it's obvious. I think Yokuhara right now is just for his age has shown a good amount of poise and good awareness.
Are we 100% on Yokiharu?
I thought that's what
not
it was.
You?
No. I thought.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure for everybody out there because I want to make sure that I get it right.
Why did I?
We thought it was Yokiharu, and then I think it was changed to Yokiharu.
Ooh, yeah. I thought was it maybe Dan Dunleavy in one of the preseason games was calling him Yokiharu? Somebody called him Yokiharu, and I thought, well, they must know they're around the team.
Trust Dan.
Yeah.
100% trust Dan.
I think it was
Dan would ask. Dan would want to know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to trust Dan.
Right?
Okay.
I think. I just remember them referring to him that way, and I thought, okay, it must be Yokiharu, because I thought it was you.
All right.
So we're going with that.
And can you go ahead?
No, I was just going to say, and you talked about Colin Miller. I think, in terms of what you want this day and age in your defenseman, he's central casting. You know, the ability to carry the puck up, the ability to skate with speed. He's got a rocket for a shot. And I think that's another key addition for this team in terms of upgrading their defense group that Jason Botchel's talked about all the time. Puck moving defensemen, all that stuff. Well, Miller plays right into that.
If you can sense my general malaise and disappointment this morning.
I can't.
Okay, well, it's there.
Okay.
And it's there because I didn't get to take part in Waivers Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Instead of picking up players in the Guillotine League overnight, I had to watch my players.
You want to say
go away.
You want to say who you would have picked up and what you would have bid on?
Would
that make it feel any better?
I didn't even look at it. Oh. I mean, well, I wouldn't. You can't do that because you don't know who would have been out there.
Your players are out
my
there.
My players in the Guillotine League got cut loose. So
did you bid them adieu?
It was sad, yeah. Although, you know, I looked at some of the prices I got that those guys went for. Cooper Kupp went for big money.
Hmm.
He was on my team. Cooper Kupp is good. Cooper Kupp puts up as big a number as anybody in the league right now. He's a monster for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bills bye week, a couple of good games out there. Miami and Washington this week, is that right?
They don't play this week? Oh, no, are they playing each other? No, they're not. Are they
do at some point this season.
Yeah, but is it this week?
I'm pretty sure it's this week.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's this week.
Oh, that'll be a great game.
Sunday.
I hope we get that game.
1 o'clock, Redskins at Dolphins.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say South Florida and D.C., Maryland, D.C., Baltimore would be the only markets in the country getting that game.
Tickets to Dolphins, Redskins are selling for less than tickets to the local zoo. That's according to a website out of Miami.
What's the Miami Zoo like?
Yeah, I was going to say the zoo might be worth it.
If it's that interesting, I'd rather go to the zoo.
Right.
Wow, that's going to be... I mean, Dolphin fans are not exactly considered a great fan base. Who's showing up at that game?
It does bring up the conversation about, you know, tanking will come up in the NFL this year because of the Dolphins and because of the Washington Redskins. But
maybe the Bengals. They're 0-5.
They've got a new coach who probably doesn't want to do that.
But are you...
They might trade pieces
that you can get draft picks for.
Sure, but, you know, with Washington and Miami, you might have two teams that actively make decisions to try to win fewer games. And in Cincinnati... I mean, they might not win a lot of games, but I think of a new coach is different.
Mm-hmm.
For the Redskins, it's Bill Callahan.
Right.
And for the Dolphins, they knew this coming in with Brian Flores.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one way to say it, I always say it like this, is if you're a Dolphins fan, how could you stay invested in your team? Rooting for them to finish last.
Right.
It's the only way to stay invested in a season like this.
And
you know,
watch Alabama football to watch Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, it's the only way. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're pouring yourself into hoping they can win this game against Washington?
Of course not. 803-0550 to join us. So what are your early season observations about the Buffalo Sabres so far? We'll start there this morning. Paul Hamilton will be with us at 7:30. Mentioned Ralph Kruger, Sabres coach, joining us for his weekly chat this morning at 8 o'clock. We'll talk some football, too. There's a tweet yesterday about the Bills. One of the teams calling about Eli Manning. What's that all about? Did you see that?
Mentorship. Would have to
mentorship?
Be.
Okay.
I mean, would have to be. That's the only. That's got to be it. 100%.
So trade for him and have three quarterbacks and have him work with Josh.
Yep.
Okay.
That's got to be it.
But I don't know what else, unless somebody's, Allen's hurt, Barkley's hurt. Somebody. I couldn't figure that one out.
No way.
Okay.
They would bring back. I was gonna say they'd bring back Derek Anderson. Tyree Jackson to play first.
So we'll get to some football too. 803-0550 to join us. Whatever is on your mind this morning, if it's something we're not discussing and you'd like to bring up, that is great. The phone lines are always open. You can join us at any point this morning here on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's probably not realistic to say that the Bills through each quarter of the season will be 3-1 if they play the wrong end of the turnover margin, but it's a great sign. It's a sign of the talent on the team, the depth on the team, that they are able to be 4-1 now with a -3 turnover margin. But I would assume either the losses will mount or that turnover margin will shift back to the positive at some point.
That is former Bills center, current radio analyst, Eric Wood. He was on with us yesterday. He was talking about the Bills, I think, are -3 on the season, and yet they still have a 4-1 record. If you missed our interview with Eric, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. We'll get you some headlines, and we want to hear from you this morning at 803-0550. We'll get some football in a moment. Opened up talking about the Sabres, and what are some of your observations so far? Three games in to the Ralph Kruger era for the Sabres. It'll be game 4 tonight at home against Montreal. Face-off just after 7 o'clock. Pre-game show at 6 here on WGR. Erod in, Sherry out. Evan Rodriguez will see his first action of the season. Connor Sherry is listed as day-to-day with an upper body injury. Patrick Marleau is back with the San Jose Sharks. He signed a one-year contract for the veteran minimum, $700,000. Florida beat Carolina last night. Bruins over Vegas. The Bills officially announced the trade of Zay Jones to the Oakland Raiders for the fifth-round pick in 2021, and with the open roster spot, they brought back running back Sonoris Perry. Sam Darnold cleared to play for the Jets on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, Giants-Patriots tomorrow night. So Saquon Barkley not expected to play. Sterling Shepard not expected to play. He's in concussion protocol. Same deal with Wayne Gallman, and they might not have Evan Ingram as well. That's going to go well. Tampa beat Houston 4-1, so that series in the ALDS will go to a fifth and deciding game tomorrow. Game 5 tonight in the two NLD series. St. Louis at Atlanta, Washington at L.A. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock, and your calls are always welcome at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Let me get to, hang on one second here, we'll get to Andrew in Lockport to start things off. Andrew, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I just want to point out 2 points, one for the Sabres, one for the Bills, just, you know, get you guys' thoughts. For the Sabres, Jeff Skinner's goal on Monday night, ridiculous how sick that was. And then on the Bills, people keep talking about trying to get, I think it's offensive tackle Trent Williams from the Redskins.
Yep.
And how that would fit for our offensive line. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I'm not sure for a couple of reasons. Well, the first one is I think they're going to continue with Ford and Secchi in the rotation. I think they're happy with Feliciano at right guard. If you went and did that, I think Deion Dawkins has been fine at left tackle. So if you went and did that, I would think that means Ford is now going to the bench. He's not playing at all. I mean, if you're trading for Trent Williams, he's a full-time starting tackle. So I don't expect the Bills to do that. I got to look up Trent Williams' contract, too. I can't remember if he's under contract beyond this season or not. If he isn't, then you'd have to sign some kind of an extension with him. But I wouldn't expect them to go get an offensive tackle.
Do they need a left tackle?
No. No, and that's what I said. Dawkins is doing fine. I would not expect it. If they made a trade, I think it's to get a wide receiver, to add somebody who can make some plays in the offense. I think they're...
I mean, does he play the right side also?
Because
they might want a little more stability on the right side.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, then Ford's not playing at all because I think Feliciano's been fine at guard. Mm-hmm. Unless they say, if they're not happy with Spain and all of a sudden they flip Ford to the left side. Because I think Deion Dawkins is doing just fine this season. So I don't know. I don't expect a move like that. I don't think they're... Oh, he signed an extension in 2015. So he's under contract for two more years, this season and next season, for Trent Williams. So they wouldn't have to do anything with this contract. I still wouldn't expect it.
Stat of the day on the Bills is that their schedule is the easiest left in the league. How about that? Level of opponent remaining. I mean, that's probably because you play a lot the Dolphins twice. That'll help.
The Jets are still
there. The Jets are there.
Again.
The Broncos are there. Yeah, easiest remaining schedule in the entire NFL by win percentage.
Does Washington have a win yet?
No.
Okay, so they play three winless teams.
Four
games, really, if you count Miami,
yeah,
right.
Four games against winless teams.
That helps with the easiest schedule. Yeah. Yeah, and if you look at it, it's all AFC. The easiest schedules in terms of opponent win percentage. The Bills... The Browns, the Steelers, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Colts, the Jaguars. And the hardest remaining schedules, all but one team are in the NFC. The NFC is off to a good start. They seem better than the AFC, so maybe you wouldn't be surprised to hear that. But it's all AFC teams with the easy schedules left in the season. Great. 346 is the win percentage.
Party time.
That's what I'm saying. It really, you know, it's not hard to get this team to at least 10. Because of what's left on the schedule. And some of the tougher games right now don't look as tough as they did when the schedule came out in April. 803-0550 to join us. Tom in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, you guys were talking about possibly a phone call with Eli Manning. So the question would be, what would be the advantage of picking him up, especially since he'd never play for us. So he would just sit in the third string. Why would we want to take the cap hit when we could, I don't know, pay his brother or somebody to come and stand on the sidelines and do, I don't know, off the cap, just as a consultant or something, give him that same kind of experience and leadership?
I wonder if it might take more money to get Peyton Manning to do that, though. You know, I mean,
you're right. It would take a lot more.
Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily be on the cap.
Right, but they're not up against the cap,
no,
and
they've got
I'm
cap.
Sure... I don't know. I'll take a look into Eli Manning's money. Where did you see that they were after Manning?
It was
a
tweet. I got to remember. Dan Salio.
Okay.
I don't know if he's a Giants writer. I got to look up who he is.
Okay.
Manning. Well, looks like he's got 2 years left on a four-year contract. They have plenty of cap room, so that's not an issue. For what it's worth, Manning's got a no-trade contract, and it doesn't sound like he wants to be traded anywhere anyway. Oh, he's got 1 year left. He's in the final year of his contract.
There you go.
And the cap is 11. Oh, cap's 23.2. That's a big number.
Well, how much of that would the Giants have to pay?
Yeah, isn't there a prorated number here that would come in place?
I did not see this when you mentioned this, so my knee-jerk reaction was the only way they would ever do it would be because they think it could help Josh.
Yeah.
And that would just mean... We're sparing no expense to bring in a high-priced consultant who can... His base salary is $11.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The dead cap on Eli is $11.7 million for them. So what? If they trade him, that they take that hit?
That hit.
Or I don't know.
I think.
Sometimes the cap gets super confusing. Yeah, how would it make sense? It's the only way I can make it make sense.
Just a mentor.
Here, this guy's won some games before. Let's see what he can teach you about this offense or teach you about... The Patriots, right? Or about Bill Belichick's tendencies. I mean, you know,
they're getting him to learn how to beat the Patriots.
Well, I mean, not just them, but you know, Manning has had good times before. He's been productive. He's not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he's won road playoff games. And I'm not trying to make a case that it's a good idea. I'm just trying to make it make sense.
I am looking and looking and looking. I'll find the tweet. This guy apparently hosts a radio show.
Are you sure you didn't dream it?
No.
I've done that before where I dream that there was news.
I saw it. In fact, was it Sneaky Joe who maybe retweeted it? Or Lou DiBiase? I thought one of our guys retweeted it. And I'm just going in this guy's feed. And, of course, I can't find it right now. But he had a couple things. It wasn't just the Bills. There were maybe – here we go. Okay. He tweeted 10 hours ago. Giants have taken calls for Eli Manning from the Bears, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Bills, and the Jaguars. Eli has a no trade.
Okay. Could it also be the same Bills that called on Antonio Brown? Because they always call. You know, one of the sides of the story was the Bills were just calling. It never really went that far.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills were doing their due diligence. So maybe they're just calling.
Maybe. Bean's calling his buddy Gettleman and just kind of inquiring.
Sure. There you go. Yeah, exactly. We're friends. I call you and say, hey, I'm calling you so you can say, I got another team on the line. That's
now,
it.
Now, I don't know who this guy is, okay? It's a verified Twitter account, but I couldn't tell you. I've never heard his work. He tweeted out a number of rumors yesterday. He tweeted out the Browns are listening to offers for Odell Beckham Jr.
I saw Colin Cowherd say that they should trade him.
Patriots,
that it's not
Eagles,
working.
49ers. He lists his teams that would be looking at that. He tweeted that Stephon Diggs trade rumors, they are true. Three teams have reached out to the Vikings, Patriots, Seahawks. The Patriots are apparently reaching out to anybody
for
who might even consider trading a receiver. Yeah.
As they should.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to get
they need a big piece.
The last
there.
Little bit out of Tom Brady and another receiving weapon would help. They tried for Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
They have Josh Gordon. That makes sense.
Yeah. And there was one other team I thought he had, the Patriots. Oh, the Patriots had apparently called Tampa and inquired about Mike Evans.
Mm.
But I don't know why Tampa would want to do that. I mean, they're hanging around. It's not like they're it's not like they're winless. You know, they've won a couple games.
He did go without a catch in their last game, right?
Godwin, I guess, is turning out like maybe he's taking some of the catches away from Evans down there. Godwin had a big game last week for them, so we'll see. I was surprised to see the Eli thing because I just don't know. I'm just, you know, I don't know that Eli would. Again, he's not no trade, or he's got a no trade, so I'm not sure he'd want to come here just to hang out and teach Josh Allen, but I was still surprised to see that, even though I get your explanation on that he would be a mentor guy for him. I was surprised. 803-0550 to join us. Yes, you can call us in football this morning, even though the Bills are on the bye, of course. We're still happy to talk football with you. Got some really good defensive numbers to share with you from Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. We put up a story yesterday and updated some already impressive numbers by the Bills defense for what they're doing this season.
And I'll have to ask you if what the Flyers have just put into their arena should be going into KeyBank Center.
Love this. Love this.
Oh, and an update on KeyBank Center. Something I complained about during the opener. Maybe a little bit of an update on that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have some familiarity, know each other pretty well, not only getting to know each other in the summer, but, you know, playing against each other in college for 3 years, I think. So we know each other well, like I said, and hoping to get something going tomorrow.
That is Jimmy Vesey. He and the Sabres in action tonight against Montreal at KeyBank Center. It is a face-off just after 7 o'clock. We'll have the game, of course, here on WGR, beginning with the pregame show at 6 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us. Three games in for the Sabres. We're wondering what observations you have about the hockey team so far. And, you know, whatever else you want to talk about, that's fine, too. I'll get you a stat of the day. You got some KeyBank Center stuff.
Yeah, two hockey things. The first was the Flyers have put a rage room inside their arena.
Love it.
Pretty cool.
I like the fact that, A, there's a rage room, and apparently there's an observation for the rage room, observation room where you can watch people destroy things in the rage room.
Participants wearing protective gear can smash, break, unleash their rage upon everyday items like televisions and dishes, using bats and sledgehammers and more.
Won't that get expensive over 41 home games?
Some of the items in the Rage Room will feature the logo of the opposing team.
Oh, even better.
The Rage Room will be named the Disassembly Room.
Mm-hmm. How many people? Is it one person allowed in there at one time?
I mean, I think
you can't have multiple people breaking stuff.
It's located behind the Assembly Room, named for the room in Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Okay.
So that's one thing about the Rage Room for the Flyers. The second thing is, I tweeted, you know, opening night for the Sabres was a ton of fun, and someone tweeted and pointed out something that I also noticed, which is on the 300 level, the beer selection is a little tough. It's not great.
Yeah.
The premium beer is not a beer I would consider a premium beer.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that. It's a bad beer.
Uh-huh.
It's worse than...
So you have limited choices up there is where you're going, I take
that's
it.
What I had passed along. And come to find out, I was contacted by someone that I think runs things down there, the choices. And they pointed out all the beer options on the third level. There's a market at 301. Maybe you've seen this. You go up to the top, and there's this place you can walk through. They have a lot of local beers. There's a lot of beers available. It's not a concession stand in the traditional sense where you say, oh, you walk through and you take a can of beer. And the email I got was about, like, hey, if you wanted to come by, we can show you the options that are available. And I just simply wrote back, well, having all those beer options is nice if you sit near 301, right? It's a circle. If I'm on the other end of the building, my only place to get really good beer options is in one spot on the 300 level.
Yeah, you got
to
walk around there.
Yeah, that can be a little bit tough. And it was pointed out to me that there was another spot in section 316 that also has some options. And the person that I was exchanging emails with down there with the Sabres or with Delaware North or whoever it is, I'm sorry.
Yeah, probably. I think it's Delaware North.
I could probably say this person's name, but I'm not sure if they'd get in trouble, to be totally honest. I bet they're fine. But anyway, that they're going to try and kind of spread things around so that maybe not the entire good beer selection is at one spot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe you want a nice beer, a good beer, and there should be more options on the 300 level. So be on the lookout for that. I mentioned that there's another one outside of section 316, which of course is not 301. It's, if you sit closer to 316, maybe you'll have more options.
Is it, could they build, no, I guess you couldn't build any, like another area to have a beer selection. Could you add more at the concession stands?
They could do anything they want. Aren't they talking about completely redoing the arena from the inside?
Yeah, but I mean, that's not something you do right now during the season. I'm just saying.
You could do anything you want.
Not while the season's going on.
You could take down one of those concession stands and make it a beer place. You could have done that earlier in the season.
Yeah.
You know, more beer options, better beer options for upstairs. I mean, as it stands, if you're in the 300 level, I don't know how many other people do this. I often leave the 300 level to get a beer and then go back up to the 100 level, which is, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Go down and visit friends that sit down on the 100 level. The Southern Tier stand is right there. That's a general gathering point. But it'd be nice to have a little bit more proliferation of the good beers upstairs where my seats are and where a lot of people sit. Where the loudest fans are.
Yeah, you're
right?
Not. You're not the loud. You're not.
No, so they say about the 300 level.
Is that right?
Yeah, when you're at the game.
And let's hear
it for the loudest.
Yeah.
Isn't that the tradition?
The one, well, typically, right? We always we would always think the higher you are in the stands, the louder you are as a fan.
I'm not sure if that's true, but
that's
anyway.
That's
so there you
the
go.
Perception.
It was nice to hear from the concessions, and that maybe they'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, fair
the
enough.
Squeaky wheel gets oiled.
What's the angriest you've ever been at a sporting event? Like, has there ever been a moment where you would have said, "Boy, I wish there was a rage room at this game"?
At the game?
Yeah. You want me to open up to, like, watching at home? Have you ever destroyed anything in your house because of a sporting event?
No, but you're talking about the rage room. So I've got to be there where I would say, I want to go in here and use this rage room.
I want to go bust a television with a hockey stick. Or whatever they're using in the rage room.
When Dan Bylsma started Johan Larsson against Connor McDavid?
Still working on that picture. Not having success right now for you. I've still got a few months, a couple months till Christmas. But
if there had been a rage room, I would have waited in line the whole game and missed the whole game.
What if you have to state what you're raging about?
Yeah, right. Write down in the comments.
The opening face-off.
Yeah, the opening lineup. It's that or it's the Bills-Dallas Monday night game. But then, you know, it happens at the end of the game. You just go home and be mad. To be mad at a game. The most I've ever been mad at a game. I mean, I've, you know, I've told you Kenny Rogers walking in the NLCS clinching run. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty tough.
That's pretty good.
But being mad at a game. There have been punts. There were punts that Rex punts, Marone punts. Boy, that's a good question.
I'm going to go with no goal. But I couldn't rage. It was working.
Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, I was
I've never done a rage
angry.
Room. They have rage rooms in Buffalo.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've never. I mean, not
at the games, but
yeah.
In all around.
I might build one at home.
A rage room. I've never done it, and I don't know that I know anybody that's done it either.
Yeah.
I'm sure people can text and tweet in that say, you know, I've done it.
I think it's a good idea. If I had a rage room at home, it'd be very expensive because you can think of numerous times where I've been angry at the end of a Bills game.
Listen,
and I go out and have to do like cut the grass. I have to do something physical.
Everybody has rage rooms in their house. Just decide to redo your kitchen.
Yeah, no,
let me tell you,
with a sledgehammer.
Just redo a room in your house, and you'll just.
I don't think this wall needs to be here.
You just get to destroy stuff.
80305.
And then you get really stressed out and rageful about the fact that your house is in shambles while you're redoing a room.
Yeah, so you don't feel so good later.
It's tough.
803-0550 to join us. Three games in. We're getting your observations on the Sabres so far. And, of course, even though it's a bye week, we're still talking Bills football with you as well. Whatever else on your mind, grab a line. Join us. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.